Yes, Atarim. Nice to see Baruch Hashem, many smiling faces. And that's exactly what I want to begin with tonight. The Gemara tells us in Tanis and Daf Chavtes, the famous statement that we know very well of Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, in the name of Rav. Kishem shemishenichnas av mematin besimcha, kach mishenichnas adar marbin besimcha. Everyone knows that Chodesh Adar is the paradigm, the month that we're supposed to not only enter into the month with simcha, but to increase. The Sfarim explain every day we're supposed to try to increase our simcha throughout the entire month of Adar. And if you look at Rashi over there in Tanis Chav Tesamad Aleph, Rashi says, Mishenichnas Adar, Yimei Nisim Hayu Li Yisrael, these are wondrous days for the Jewish people, Purim U Pesach. And the way that the Sfarim HaKadoshim understand this Rashi, and really, in a certain sense, the Pashup Shad in Rashi, is that there's this awesome connection that exists between Purim and Pesach. The idea that the Gemara describes of being Somech Geula LeGeula, the reason that we celebrate Purim when we have a double Adar and Adar Sheni is for that very reason, that we want to put the Geula of Purim next to the Geula of Pesach. But on a deeper level, the Gemara is also telling us that just as Adar is a month of Simcha, so in many respects, Chodesh Nisan and the Yom Tov of Pesach is a continuation of that Simcha. I want to share tonight Divrei Torah, which I think are relevant to, obviously, not only the Yom Tov of Pesach, but also to the situation that we're currently experiencing. And what this Gemara is telling us, and what Rashi is telling us, is that just like Purim, we have an obligation to be B'Simcha, and Pesach also, we're supposed to be B'Simcha. And it's not always so easy to be B'Simcha. Let's imagine for a second, let's go back in time, and let's picture what it was like for the Piazetzner Rebbe to speak to people before Purim in the year 1940. Just picture the scene, you're in the Warsaw Ghetto, and you're trying to be Mechazek Yidden before the Yom Tov of Purim in the year 1940. You're surrounded by Nazi soldiers, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, your life is hanging in the balance, any day you could be taken to be killed. How are you supposed to be Mechazek Jews on that Yom Tov? Well, we're fortunate enough, we have a sefer called Eish Kodesh, so we know exactly what the Piazetzner Rebbe said. And it's printed in the Eish Kodesh for Purim 1940. He quotes a Tikkuni Zohar. The Tikkuni Zohar tells us that there's a strange and unusual link that exists between Purim and Yom HaKippurim. Right? Purim and Yom Kippurim. It's a day that's like Purim. And the Piazetzner Rebbe says, just like Yom Kippur, the Tanis is not always so comfortable. Most of us probably don't enjoy the fasting. There's many aspects of Yom Kippur that we do enjoy. We enjoy the chance of cleansing ourselves through the process of Lifnei Hashem Titaro. We enjoy the beautiful Nagunim, our Chazanim. Right? I see Corey, I see some of our other Chazanim here tonight. Right? We love to hear the words and the beautiful tunes of our Chazanim. That aspect of Yom Kippur we like very much. The fasting, it's hard. The Inuyim are very difficult. And yet we all know that that's part of Yom Kippur. And we do it because that's the halacha. And that's what Hashem wants from us. Ve'inisim es nafsho sechem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. Lo'im rotzo sama adam la'aso sama osa. Says the Piazetzner Rebbe, we don't just do Yom Kippur, the aspects that are fun for us, the parts that we like. We do Yom Kippur even when it hurts. And he said the same thing is true when it comes to Simchas Purim. An amazing connection that only a Jew sitting in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940 could make. That just like Yom Kippur is not always comfortable, well, Purim is a Yom Kippurim. Sometimes Purim is also not always so comfortable. And it's not exactly the Purim that we'd like. We'd like to have the freedom to celebrate Purim, says the Piazetzner Rebbe, the way that we would all like to. And all of us have all sorts of anxieties, he writes. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us to celebrate on Purim, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us to fast on Yom HaKippurim. And if that's true for Purim, and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave most of us a very joyous Purim that lasts before 14, but then the same thing is true for Nisan. That means if Chodesh Nisan is also part of this avoda, Mishenichnas Av Mematin Besimcha, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, and Rashi says Purim U Pesach, that means we have to find ways, as part of our religious duty, to be happy during these days. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But it's part of the avoda of being a Jew, is to find ways to experience joy amidst all of the challenges. During the Second World War, there were some Jews who escaped from various parts of Europe. They had managed to escape, many of them without their families. And there was a group of Jews who had escaped the horrors of the Nazis and came to America. and they found their way to Rav Pinchas David Alevi Horowitz, better known as the Boston Rebbe. The Boston Rebbe, the first Boston Rebbe, was actually born in Yerushalayim. He had come to America in 1915, amazingly enough, collecting tzedakah, and he decided he liked Boston and chose to stay, and he stayed in Boston. 1939, he set up shop in Williamsburg, and that's where he spent the last 2 years of his life. So Mestama, this story took place in Williamsburg. There were some, again, these refugees who had escaped from Europe. They came to Williamsburg, again, whatever that looked like in 1939, 1940. And they were spending some time in the presence of the Boston Rebbe. And he was hosting a meal on Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah. And at the meal, the Boston Rebbe, sitting with these people who were wondering what happened or what's happening to their families trapped in various parts of Europe, the Boston Rebbe began to sing a very joyous niggun. And one of these fellows who was sitting at the table said, "Rebbe, I don't know how you could sing at a time like this. I don't know how you find the strength to sing at a time like this. It's crazy. I mean, my parents are stuck in Europe. My wife and children are stuck in Europe." And each one was lamenting their terribly sad and unfortunate and horrific and tragic situation. And the Rebbe paused his niggun, and he quoted, and you should look up the words, maybe this is our avoda for this Pesach, a very different Pesach. The Rebbe quoted Baal Peh, the words of the Rambam, in his famous closing passage to Hilchos Lulav, in Parachas. The Rambam writes, "Hasimcha sheyismach ha'odom ba'asiyas ha'mitzvah uva'avas ha'kel she'tziva behen." The joy that a Jew should feel when performing mitzvos and in loving Hashem as commanded to us, avoda gedola hi. So the Boston Rebbe asked those Jews who were fleeing from their lives, who had made it safely to America but were filled with anxieties as what's happening with their families. So the Boston Rebbe said, "I don't understand this Rambam. Simcha's an avoda gedola hi. What's so hard about simcha? What's so hard about simcha? Simcha is a very natural expression. Simcha is a feeling that we have. But what the Rambam is telling us is that sometimes simcha, yes, sometimes simcha comes easy. And sometimes simcha is, in the words again of the Rambam, avoda gedolahi. It's a big avoda." And the Boston Rebbe said, maybe this is what the Rambam was referring to. Maybe it's for dark times like these, where we have to work a little bit extra hard to feel that simcha that we're supposed to feel during these days. So my friends, as we're preparing ourselves for the Yom Tov of Geula, I know simcha seems like a daunting task, and maybe you thought coming into tonight's shiur that the simcha of Chodesh Adar has expired, but as Rashi is telling us, Purim u'Pesach, the joy that was building, climaxing and on Purim and beyond, has to continue into the month of Nisan. And again, it's a daunting task. We all feel it in a heavy way, but like the Pia Zetzner Rebbe and like the Boston Rebbe said in, I would argue, much more difficult times, it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation, and it's part of the avoda of being a Jew. We have to find ways to embrace these days besimcha. I want to share one other comment about Chodesh Nisan as we begin. And again, most of the Divrei Torah I'm sharing tonight are not only relevant to the matzav, but are really tefilos. Each one is a Torah that really is really a tefillah for us to daven over together. And this one comes in the writings of the Shem Yishmuel. It's found in earlier sources, but I'm going to use the words of the Shem Yishmuel, who I'm very fond of, the Sakachava Rebbe, passed away in 1926. He writes in Parshas Mishpatim from the year 1915. Okay, so again, just think of the years that the context of some of these tzaddikim, what was happening in the world when they wrote these Divrei Torah. There's a line that most of us are probably not so familiar with, although some of the people who've davened in different shuls over the years maybe are familiar with them, from the piyutim, from the yotzros, for the Dalit Parshios. In the Musaf of Parshas HaChodesh, as part of the piyut, there's a line that says, HaChodesh asher yeshuos bo makifos. HaChodesh, we refer to the month of Nisan as a month asher yeshuos bo makifos, which literally means, the simple translation, it's a month where salvation is makifos, where we're surrounded, where we're enveloped by miracles. And that's certainly the feeling. There's a lot of miracles we think about in the month of Nisan. Dam, Tzardeya, Kina, Marov, the list goes on. Those are just the outline, the framework of the Ten Makos. And there's many, many details within them. Many, many miracles. A month where we're surrounded by miracles. HaChodesh asher Yeshuos bo makifos. But the Shem Yishmuel quotes from the Chiddush Erim, the first Ger Rebbe, that makif actually means something else. Maybe you'll recognize the word from the third parak of Pirkei Avos, where it describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is the chenvani, the ultimate storekeeper. I guess in times like this, you know, we think about what types of businesses are essential and non-essential. I guess the Kodesh Baruch Hu's store is considered always essential. So the chenvani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the shopkeeper, is makif. What does that mean? The shopkeeper surrounds you? It doesn't mean surrounds. Makif means that the shopkeeper gives you on his ledger. He writes down, he keeps track of what you take from his store. You don't always have to pay up front. He gives you in advance. Hachenvani makif, right? The storekeeper records your balance in his ledger, and at the end of the month, he sends you a bill. So if that's what the word makif means, if makif, so to speak, means giving a loan, an advance grant, so says the Shem Yishmuel, and says really again the Chiddush Harim, this is a chodesh asher yeshuos bo makifos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the month, both historically, and it's the tefillah that we have right now, where we say to Hashem, you know what, in Mitzrayim, we didn't have the merits. It didn't make sense for us to get out. We weren't worthy. We hadn't earned it. We couldn't make a case before the heavenly court that we were worthy of being saved. In fact, we're on the 49th level of Torah. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a loan. Hashem gave us a salvation that we didn't really deserve. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, Val Kain, Kemo Shebebriyas Ha'olam, Be'echad Benisan. Just like Aleph Nisan, we just had Rosh Chodesh. What is Aleph Nisan? According to one opinion in the Gemara, Machlokas Tanayim, when the world was created, according to one opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, Aleph Nisan was the day that Adam HaRishon was created. It's day 6 of creation. And what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do on that day? And it's scarily relevant to us, unfortunately, right now. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam HaRishon a spirit of life. Kein hayu Yisrael b'mitzrayim shahayu b'memtes shari tumah. Says the Shem Yishmuel, we were on the 49th level of tumah. And tumah, he says, is a lashon of timtum. Timtum means closed up. There was no exit. Mitzrayim means being enveloped. Yes, we were surrounded by the enemy. If anything was makif surrounding, it was the fact that we were surrounded by Paro and his guards on all sides. Hainu shahayu halavavos atumim, on a spiritual level, our hearts had become dulled. We were on the 49th level of tumah. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to speak to us, we can't hear him. V'lo shamu el Moshe mikotze ruach me'avodah kasha. We can't hear. We don't have, our hearts are dull and numb. Our ears are clogged. Kol dodi dofek, Hashem is knocking, but we're not hearing it. So comes along Chodesh Nisan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleph Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day that Adam HaRishon was created, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. Every Chodesh Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows into man a clump of dirt who's unworthy of his own existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes into him, blows into him. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Nafach Behem Ruach Chaim Chadashim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a new spirit of life. And everything Hashem gave us on the way out of Mitzrayim was this incredible loan that would be paid back later. When would it be paid back? We know. Because Moshe Rabbeinu found out about it before he even began the process of redeeming us. The whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is what? That we're going to come to Har Sinai and we're going to pay our debts by making ourselves avadim, in a holy sense, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein nishar l'doros b'chol shana v'shana, and every year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows into our body a new spirit of life, a new hischadshus, and it's all al smach ha'asidu v'hakafa. It's all a loan that it's incumbent upon us to pay when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us the bill. Why do I say that these words are scarily relevant to us? Obviously, if we think about what's happening, we think about the very nature of this virus, and the way that it attacks our lungs, Rahmana Litzlan, the way that people are literally struggling, gasping for their next breath of air, and how there's simply not enough ventilators available to even provide for people to be able to continue that process, that breath of life that we take for granted all the time. I've been thinking so much about the Medrash. There's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah in Parsha Yadal, and I'm sure some of you have heard it before. Rabbi Levi, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Al kol neshima u'neshima sha'adam no shame. Tzarech lekales laboro. Literally, for every breath that a person takes, we need to say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for putting that next breath of life into me. Because there's no guarantee from one breath to the next that you're going to be able to take that breath of life. And the Medrash cites as its source, Kol ha-neshama ta'alka, al kol nishima, kol ha-neshama. My neshama, which is dependent on the koach, of neshima, being able to breathe. I'll call neshima u'neshima tahal al-ka. Hospitals desperate for ventilators, people's lungs being attacked by this horrible, horrible disease, by this horrible virus and illness. And it makes you think that Chodesh Nisan is that time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that first breath of air, that clump of dirt was given a life that it didn't really deserve. And again, it's our tefillah to Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to give us on loan. Yeshuos bo makifos. Right? Not just that we should be surrounded by miracles, which Baruch Hashem, amidst all of the craziness, we are seeing a lot of unbelievable nisim v'neflos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need more in advance. We'll pay you back. We'll find a way eventually, somewhere down the road, to be able to pay you back for your kindness. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't take for granted the breath of life that you gave us in Chodesh Nisan, and we ask you to continue to give us that breath of life each and every day. When we come to the Seder, so of course we wear a kittel. Many have the practice to wear a kittel. I think the practice is that many chassanim in their first year do not wear a kittel, but most people have the practice that the men wear a kittel. Actually, in some ancient minhagim, it was actually the practice of women to wear a kittel as well. The Taz in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch and Simf Ayin Beis explains why do we wear a kittel. Two actually very opposing explanations. And again, it captures the feeling that we feel right now. On the one hand, the Taz is writing 16th century. On the one hand, the Taz says, early 17th century, Taz says that a kittel is a sign of cheiros and malchus. It's a royal garment. Again, it may not seem like a royal garment to us, but it's a royal garment. It's an expression of our freedom. It's a unique type of garment that's worn on special occasions, and it's a declaration. It's a garment of cheiros. It's a garment of royalty. On the other hand, the kittel, as of the Taz, is kidei shelo tazuach daito alav mipnei asimcha. The simcha of Pesach is supposed to be so palpable, so strong, so powerful, that a person could lose oneself in it. And therefore the kittel, which is worn, of course, very similar to the burial shrouds that are worn by a person after their life is over, it's a reminder to us as we sit at the Seder, shelo tazuach daito alav, don't become lightheaded from all of the simcha that we're feeling. The Svarim bring a nafka mina. What would be a nafka mina between these two approaches of the Taz, whether it's a beged of cheiros, or it's a beged that reminds us of Misa? A simple nafka mina would be a discussion in the poskim. Does an avel, does a mourner wear a kittel? If the kittel is a sign of cheiros and malchus, it would be inappropriate for an avel, a person who's in their year of avelus, to wear a kittel. If it's a beged of Misa, so then the somber nature of the kittel is appropriate to be worn by an avel. That would be a nafka mina between the two approaches of the Taz. But I want to share with you a line, an amazing line, and again, a very relevant, a painfully relevant line for us, that comes from the Arugas HaBosem. The Arugas HaBosem was the Rav in Chust, and he writes in this week's Parshan, Parsha Sav, an amazing thing. It's part of a much longer piece, but I want to just share with you the comment that he brings from the Rebbe of Shmelka of Nicholsburg, of Shmuel Shmelka of Nicholsburg, in his Sefer Divrei Shmuel. He explains the minhag of the kittel as follows. And again, his words are powerful, so it should be a chus for us to hear the words directly from the tzaddikim. Al minag lilvosh hakittel, explains Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg. The reason that we wear the kittel b'shas ha-seder, kidei litzair lefanov ki'ilu haya kvar ba'olam haba. Again, the kittel is similar to the burial shrouds that is worn by a person upon their passing. And therefore, as I look at myself sitting at my seder in my kittel, it's ki'ilu, I'm not alive anymore. I picture myself as if I've transferred my soul into the next world. I've given back my soul. I'm standing there, so to speak, picturing myself standing before Hashem in the final din, the final calculation. I'm in the Olam Haba, v'rahis chayvus shalo, and I see all of my unpaid debts. I see all of my averos before me. U'pasak ba'atzmo hapsak lasos kefi arayelo, and I accept, I can't argue otherwise. Hashem rolls the videotape, I see all my shortcomings, all of the deeds that, my misdeeds that have not been corrected. And then, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a chance. Hashem offers you the following deal. Rak nitna lo habreira l'shuv od kan kedei l'taken ma'isav. Hashem says, you know, you could just go to hell and, you know, burn for your sins. Or, if you want, you know, I'm willing to give you a chance to go back and try again. For a short period of time, I'll let you go back down if you're serious about trying to fix. So, of course, a person jumps at the opportunity. A person who would be given such an opportunity, imagine, after crossing over to the next world, having the clarity of that truth of that encounter, of that din v'cheshbon before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then being given the schus to come back to this world for the opportunity to just to touch things up before you stand in trial? Who wouldn't jump at such an opportunity? Mishum ze tzarech lilvosh ha-kittel. The kittel, on the one hand, is reminding us, ki'ilu, I look at myself and I say, wow, it's as if I'm not alive anymore. I'm wearing a kittel. A kittel is a beged of mason. I'm not alive anymore. But then a person catches oneself and looks around the table, whether it's the big table that we're used to for some of us, or whether it's a much smaller seder, and I say, you know what? As much as there are a lot of losses to think about in this very short period of time that we've experienced this pandemic, but you know what? I look at myself wearing the kittel, I take a breath, and I realize I'm alive. It's ke'ilu on the one hand, I've crossed over into the next world, and at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a chance to come back for a few moments to sit at the Seder. Ki'ilu ha'yisham, as if I was already there, uba l'kan she'enis l'takin atzmo. The kittel is the reminder, what would I want to do with these moments if I was no longer and then given the opportunity just for a couple of seconds to come back to this world? 34,000 recorded deaths already in the last couple of weeks. And that's with, and I think I can say confidently, with all of the lies coming out of China. The numbers are probably much, much higher than that. Much, much higher than that. But my friends, we're still numbered amongst the living. And Baruch Hashem, we have to count our brachas. And therefore, yes, on the one hand, we live with that anxiety, that fear, that beged shel meisim, which God forbid could be hanging over any of us, Rachmana Litzlan, al tiftach pe l'satan. But at the same time, we look at ourselves and we're alive. We have the opportunity, whoever we're with, whether we're by ourselves at the Seder, or I'm with just my spouse at the Seder, or I'm with my immediate family, even though I want to be with my aunts and uncles and cousins and parents and grandparents, but we're amongst the living. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a chance to do something more. And therefore, we look down at ourselves and we feel that sense of, wow, Hashem, you've given me another chance at life. And therefore, we have to come to the Seder and make it awesome. We have to make it count. We have to make it a meaningful Seder, whatever it looks like, however different it is. We have to make that Seder count. Kadesh Orchatz Karpas Yachatz. Here's a short tefillah for Yachatz. What do we want to remind ourselves when we break that middle matzah? What are we reminding ourselves? And what are we reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, there's a story that's told that there was a group of Hasidim that were traveling to Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, the great Tzaddik, the Rebbe of Melech. And on their way, they were traveling, they saw this little boy, they stopped off in a particular town, and they saw this young boy, mamish, a little kid, they saw him running around the streets, he was singing and dancing. And they looked at this kid, he looked like a poor child, he looked malnourished. They couldn't imagine, what was this child singing about and dancing about? So they went over to this child, they said, what are you so happy about? They said, you look like an impoverished child. He says, the truth is, I haven't eaten in 3 days. 3 days, Rahman al-Latsan, you're starving. How are you dancing? What are you so happy about? So he said, you know, I was thinking. He said, I realized when I'm so hungry here, I've never been hungry like this before. And I started to become so aware of what I'm lacking in my life. But I paused for a second and I said, you know what? I also never was so aware of the things that I have in my life. I never really thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that as small as my little house is, I have a house. And as poor as our family is, I have parents. I'm blessed to have parents. And therefore I decided in this moment, as much as I'm suffering terribly, and I'm in pain, I'm hungrier than I've ever been before, but I'm also appreciating my brachos like never before. So I decided to run in the streets and dance. So they said to this boy, they said, you're a very special young man. They said, we're on our way to the Rebbe of Elimelech of Lizhensk. I think the tzaddik would get a lot of nachas from meeting such a child, and I think you'd feel a strong connection to the tzaddik. And they asked the boy's parents if they could take the child along, and they agreed. They didn't have much to provide for the child. They figured, let him go with these chassidim. And they took him to Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. And this child went on to become the great tzaddik Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimonov. I reduce my insight that I want to share with you from the Rimonover, from Rav Menachem Mendel in his Sefer Menachem Tzion, in his writings on Pesach, an explanation of what is Yachatz? What do we think as we hold up and think, daven this tefillah when you break that, when you snap that middle matzah this year? He says the breaking of the middle is like a krisas bris. It's like a covenant between two friends, between two loved ones. Kishenifradim shnei oavim, when two loved ones part ways and they remember each other, feel connected to each other. Even though they don't know the next time they're going to see each other, you know what they sometimes do? They take a ring and they break it in half. And each one keeps a half of that ring. I was unloading the dishwasher the other day and a plate slipped out of my hand and it didn't make it. But I saved a little piece. I swept most of it up into the garbage. But I saved a little piece and I put it on my bookshelf in a particular spot. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, this is going to be like a zecher le coronavirus, you know? Like when it's all said and done, we'll remember, like this, you know, this plate also suffered. To remember, not to forget the hardship, but also to remember the miracles that we saw. Halavai, it should be a big kapara. Nothing more should break than a little plate. But when two friends, when two loved ones separate, they snap a ring in half. Each one keeps a piece of the ring. V'chol echad lokeach lo hachatig lezikaron avas olam, to remember the other one forever. And therefore, when we break the middle matzah, on a certain level, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I think it's such a powerful tefillah for us this year, not only a Torah idea, but a tefillah, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's not forget, as we, so to speak, we review that covenant, we review that krisas bris, we once again renew that covenant between us and Hashem. We remind ourselves of the commitment that we've made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai to live the lives of Jewish people and to follow the laws and the details of a life of being a Jew in good times and in hard times. But we also remind the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we put aside that piece, that larger piece, maybe that larger responsibility in a certain sense for Hashem. The Afikom, and we say, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what about your side of the deal? What about all the promises you made to us in the Torah and by way of the Nevi'im? All the promises of watching over Klal Yisrael? We're frightened during these days. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we snap that middle matzah, we remind ourselves both of the promise that you made to us and the promise that we made to you. We hope to what? We hope to once again reinforce that covenant and to daven, again, to daven over that covenant that it should be as strong as ever. Okay, one thing I want to just share from Magid, just one short ha'ara, and that is that comes from Rav Elchanan Wasserman. This is found in the Haggadah Baranovich, the Baranovich Haggadah. Many tzaddikim from Baranovich, some who lost their lives, al kiddush Hashem. Amongst them, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Lubchansky was the Mashgiach in Baranovich, amazing tzaddikim who were cut down and taken from us at the hands of Rasham, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. But Rav Elchanan, again, it's really Begeder Tefillah. One of the, and it's a nice continuation of what we were just sharing by Yachatz. One of the Tefillos, really, again, that we offer in Magid, is we say to Hashem, Baruch Shomer Havtachasa L'Yisrael Baruch Hu. Blessed is the one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who keeps his promises. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made many promises to Klal Yisrael. You calculated the end of our captivity. Those are going to be the key words. You calculated the end, in other words, when the Geula would come. As you promised Avram Avinu by the Bris Bein Abasarim, Yadoa Teido Kiger Yazaracha Be'eretz Lolahem, Va'avadum, V'ino Asam Arba Me'oshana. And of course, we got out of there after 210 years, and the enemy was punished. And v'acharei kein yetzu b'ruchosh gadol. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you kept your promise. You took us out of Mitzrayim. In fact, you even took us out early. What's alluded to in these precious words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chishav es haketz? So Rav Elchanan Wasserman said the following. And again, it's really begeder tefillah. It's Torah, but everything tonight is begeder tefillah. There's a Gemara in Maseches Arachin on Daf Tes Zayin that says, what's the definition of Yisurim? You know, someone showed me a funny meme the other day. You know, just again to make sense of some of our suffering. And it was describing how, like, you know, some of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents had to go out to fight wars to save the world. And, like, you know, for us to save the world, we have to just stay home and, you know, binge Netflix or whatever to save the world. Like, just stay out of the streets. You know, that's, we're saving the world by sitting on our couch. No one has to pick up a weapon and go fight any wars, right? So anyway, suffering is a relative term, to say the least. So the Gemara in Maseches Arachin on Daf Tes Zayin says, yes, suffering is a relative term. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the suffering of Jewish people very, very seriously. And the Gemara gives examples. If a person sticks their hand into their pocket and they're trying to pull out a nickel, and instead they pull out a penny, and now they have to stick their hand back into their pocket. They have to go through the trouble of sticking their hand into their pocket again because they pulled out the wrong coin, Rachmanu Litzlan. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls that Yisur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls that suffering. Or if a person asks for a cold drink, and they're brought a warm drink, and now they have to get up and, you know, and get a piece of ice from the freezer because they wanted their drink to be cold, right? That's also considered suffering. Obviously, these are very minute expressions of suffering. Of course, there's Rav Elchanan Wasserman, someone who died al kiddush Hashem. He says, of course, there's many more horrific ways for a person to suffer. Like the Gemara says in Ksubis, the Hanani Mishal V'Azaria, had they been tortured, they would have bowed down to idols. And the Gemara used that as a proof of saying that torture could sometimes be worse than death. They were prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem, but torturing a person, the suffering of torture could be so terrible that a person will be forced to do things that they would never do otherwise, even on account of death. Says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, by the Bris Bein HaBesarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, your children are going to suffer. But what does suffering mean? No one defined the terms. What is the definition of suffering? Right? The Gemara says in Maseches Makos, for example, that if someone kills Beshogeg, they have to go to an Ir Miklat. What happens if you're a Levi and you happen to live in an Ir Miklat? So you know how you go into exile? You know what your exile, your gullus is? You have to move one town over. If you live in Bergenfield, you have to move to Teaneck. You know? Or if you live in Teaneck, you have to move to Bergenfield. Or you have to move to New Milford. Right? That's called gullus. But again, yes, in a relative sense, that could be called gullus. Gullus could also be being uprooted from Eretz Yisrael and sent into gullus Bavel, or to some other type of gullus. So it wasn't exactly clear when HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicted by the Bris Bein HaBesarim that the Jews had to suffer, in quotation marks, that we'd have to be strangers in a strange land, it wasn't exactly clear what the terms of that would be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Rachmanis, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Chishav es haketz. You know how we got out of Mitzrayim early? HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered any bit of Jewish suffering that we experienced in Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't only count towards the suffering, the whips of the Egyptians, and the torture, and the sleepless nights, and the hunger, and the starvation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted every bit of little, the slightest bit of Jewish suffering. If a Jew woke up in the morning, got out of bed, and stubbed his toe, that also counted as part of Galus Mitzrayim. And that was a kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And therefore, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Chishav es haketz can be translated, not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated the end of our captivity, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated es haketz, Hashem calculated in the most extreme way, taking every bit of Jewish suffering into consideration. And I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the same right now. I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking every bit of suffering, not just the extreme suffering that people are facing, that many people are facing, but I hope the small suffering, the fact that a kid doesn't feel safe, you know, going out on the street to ride his bike or go to the park to touch the monkey bars because he's scared, God forbid, he could pick up some strange virus that could be life-threatening. That's also part of the gullus that we're experiencing right now. And our tefillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that extreme form of gullus and adds that towards our calculation towards Geula. Rabbi Lam, in his Sefer on the Haggadah, has a beautiful insight from Maror. His Sefer is called The Royal Table, Haggadah Shel Pesach, Rabbi Norman Lam. And he writes on Maror. I want to read you his words because he has such a beautiful command of the English language. He wonders, you know, Maror is an interesting thing. Maror, on the one hand, of course, is the bitterness, but of course, we make a bracha on Maror. We make a bracha on Maror. Make a bracha, that's a strange thing, to be able to make a bracha on the Maror. Consider how astounding is our attitude. It's on page 76 of the Royal Table. Consider how astounding is our attitude towards this piece of food and how it speaks volumes to who we are. We do not weep when we eat it. You would think, chayav adam liros asatzma, you know, you're eating the mar, you're supposed to sit there crying and lamenting the suffering of Mitzrayim. Well, that's not how we eat the mar. We take this mar, this morsel of misery, what a beautiful lashon, this morsel of misery, and we recite a bracha over it, as if to say, thank you God for the miserable memory. We then take this bitter herb and dip it into charoses, the sweet paste of wine and nuts and fruit. Life, we say, in effect, is neither all bitter nor all sweet. With rare exceptions, it is bittersweet, and we ought not to bemoan our fate, but to bless God for it. I think the experience that we have right now is very bittersweet. I don't know, that's how I find it. Maybe I hope I'm not being insensitive. But I found this whole experience to be very bittersweet. On the one hand, we see unbelievable achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. We see an outpouring of tefillah in a very different type of way. See technological breakthroughs in Harbatzos HaTorah like maybe nothing ever in world history. And at the same time, we see tremendous loss and tremendous suffering. And says Rabbi Lam, the story of the Maror is really the story of life. It's always bittersweet. One person's success is another person's loss, and vice versa. And therefore we have the maturity, the spiritual maturity, as we sit at the Seder, to take that Maror in our hands, to dip it into the charoses, to make a bracha, to eat the same simcha that we're supposed to feel as we feel throughout the Seder night, and to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that morsel of misery, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get that life is bittersweet. It's never always all sweet, and it's never always all bitter. And that's such an important perspective for us to keep in mind. After Mar, of course, we take the Mar and the Matzah together. It's called Korech. Just a couple more minutes, if anyone needs to go at any point, don't feel that I'm holding you hostage. We take the Korech. I want to just share a quick thought from the Ben Yishchai. Two different attitudes that we have when it comes to being overwhelmed by tzaras, and I think they're both tremendous psychological techniques that can help us in our time of tzara. What do you do when you feel just utterly overwhelmed by many, many, many different tzaras? How do you deal with the tzaras? So one way is to kind of do what we do by yachatz, which is to kind of take that matzah, which could sometimes, again, matzah is a mixed metaphor. Matzah on the one hand is cheiris, on the other hand, it's very much avdus, it's the food of our affliction. So we take the matzah, we break it up into smaller pieces. One of the great techniques that we can use, and I can give you many, many examples in Svarim, but I'll just give you two, of using this technique, to take the tzar and to break it into smaller pieces, to make it more manageable. That's a tremendous, tremendous technique that we can use when we're going through, when we just feel overwhelmed. Try to take all of the overwhelming feelings of your life and just try to crumble them up into smaller pieces. Let me give you two examples. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking Avraham Avinu to begin his journey of becoming a Jew, when the whole adventure began of becoming a Jew, Hashem says to Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha mi'latecha mi'beis avicha la'aretz asher echa. Says the Kli Yakar back in Parshas Lech Lecha, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Avram in this way? Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow put it all together? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaking it up into stages of exile? And the answer is exactly that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to overwhelm Avram all at once. The same thing is true, by the way, by Akedas Yitzchak, the last of the ten tests. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to take your son. Which son? Your only son. Which only son? The one that you love. Which only son that I love? Yitzchak. In other words, sometimes we have to take the tzara and we have to break it into smaller pieces. Avram, I need you to leave your land. Oh, not only that, Avram, I need you to leave your birthplace. Not only that, I need you to abandon your family. Not only that, I need you to go to a place that you've never been before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of broke the news to Avram in stages and says the Kli Yakar, that actually made it more manageable for Avram Avinu. And that's a technique that we can use as well. We could take this general feeling of being completely overwhelmed and try to break it into smaller pieces, more manageable tzaras. In fact, some have a minhag, I think by the Lubavitchers, the practice is to break the Afikoman piece into five smaller pieces. Again, maybe that also alludes to this idea. It was just the yard site last week of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So in a biography, a Hebrew biography called B'Mechitzas Rabbeinu, there's a story that's told there by Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, the son of Rav Yaakov. He said that when I was a kid, my father used to send me, this was before Rav Yaakov came to Seattle, Toronto, eventually New York. He said when he was still in Europe, so he used to send me to the post office, which was very far from our town. You had to go pick up your mail. And it was a big schlep. And Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky said he hated going. It was mamish a big schlep. He used to go and his father would send him. And of course he did it because his father needed him to. But he really didn't like doing it. So he said to his father one time, he's like, you know, Abba, it's so annoying going to the post office. Such a long trip to the post office. So Rav Yaakov said to him, let me give you some advice. You know, along the way to the post office, you know there's like certain like posts along the way, you know, different poles along the way, I don't know, telephone poles or whatever, different like checkpoints along the way, street signs, whatever it was, lampposts along the way. So he said, did you ever count the lampposts on the way to the post office? So he said, no, I never counted them. He said, I want you to count them. I want you to count them. And tell me how many. So he came back next time and he said, you know, there's X number of poles. So he said, good. So he said, instead of looking at it as one long journey, I want you to divide the journey into, let's say, like 22 different, you know, smaller journeys. And he says, you'll see, it'll be much more manageable. And he told him, and it's written in the Sefer, that this is a technique in life. Srichim lishbora tabaya hagadola lakama bios katanos. Take your big problem and break them into smaller, more manageable problems. It's a tremendous technique that we can use in life. But there's an opposite psychological approach, which the Ben Yishchai brings in his Haggadah Shel Pesach. And the Ben Yishchai says, Maror Korech. We know in the steps of the Simanim of the Haggadah, Maror Korech. So he says, actually, that's a package. Maror Korech. Take your Maror and Korech it. Take all of your Maror and roll it all together. Korech means literally to roll. Again, most of us Ashkenazim use the crunchy matzah, but in the good old days, you know, the lafa matzah, some of the Sfardim still use, the soft matzah, right? Take your maror and korech it, roll it all together. What does that mean? The Ben Yishchai says, you could look at your life and you could say, I have health issues, I have parnas issues, I have children who need shidduchim, I have, you know, I have religious questions, I have this, I have that. I have 15 different things that bother me, and I could be utterly overwhelmed by all of that. But you know what else you could do? You can kind of roll it all together and just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the truth is, I have one big problem. And that is, I need more of you in my life. I can solve all my issues if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just help me. I was reading this past Shabbos an amazing book, a book called Chabad Portraits, a fascinating book by Rav Chaim Dalfin. Interesting people, events, and curiosities in Chabad Hasidism. It's some pretty wacky stuff, some pretty wild stuff. So it tells a story in here about a Farbrengen that took place in 1941 by the 6th Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz. The Rebbe Rayatz only came to New York in 1940, escaping also from the Holocaust. He made it to New York in March of 1940. 1941, Yotes Kislev, 1941, the Rebbe Rayatz had a big Farbrengen. And there was an elder chassid from Philadelphia, which is where I was born and raised, so the story speaks to me on that level also, who said to the Rebbe at one point during the Farbrengen, he lifted up a cup of mashka and he said, Rebbe L'chaim, we should be zocha to see many salvations. And the Rebbe Rayatz looked back at him, he said, L'chaim, L'chaim. He said, all we need is one salvation, but it needs to be the proper one. The Rebbe Rayatz was saying, all we need is Mashiach and then all of our problems are going to go away. And maybe that's another way to look at these days. On the one hand, we have so many individual needs. And maybe we need that technique of breaking them into even smaller pieces to make them manageable. But on the one hand, there's a collective problem, and that's that we don't have the geula. And therefore, we daven, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can make all of this disappear in one fell swoop if you wanted to. The Chafetz Chaim writes in Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah and Parshas Vayigash, that when Yosef's brothers had so many questions, what on earth is going on? They couldn't make sense of anything that was happening in their life. And in two words, says the Chafetz Chaim, two words, Yosef answered all the shailas, Ani Yosef, and everything was crystal clear after that. Says the Chafetz Chaim, and again it's a tefillah, Kein kasher yishma olam eshtei milim, when we are zocha to hear two words from us, Yitartzu kol akushos utmios al hagas olam, all of the questions we have about who runs the world, says the Chafetz Chaim, will disappear in a second. Shu lechor lepele be'einenu arata. All the wonders that we have. Hashem, we don't get any of this. Yizbaru v'yizchoru. It'll become crystal clear to us. Kol anyanim. V'ro kol basar yachtav. Ki yad Hashem osa kol letov asena. And the whole world, all of flesh will see. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. All of flesh will recognize that really it's been a Kadosh Baruch Hu every step of the way. Rav Biederman, Rav Elimelech Biederman, who's a great mashpia in Eretz Yisrael, told a story recently. He said that when the Majitzer Rebbe was escaping from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, he found his way to Vilna. And the people who were around him at that time, he wasn't safe. I mean, he was safer at that for a couple of moments. But the Majitzer Rebbe, Rav Shaul Yedidya, the Yisa Bracha, as he was known for his safer, the Majitzer Rebbe had this tremendous serenity, just this Yishuv Hadas that no one around him seemed to have. And no one can make sense of it. How did you have such peace of mind? How are you able to have such composure at a time of such madness? So they asked the Majitzer Rebbe, how do you do it? Rebbe, how do you do it? You seem so calm. So the Rebbe said to them, he said, what do you mean? You think I don't have all the fears and anxieties that everyone else has? Of course I do. He said, but I have a little pushkala, I have a little box. And every time I have fear or anxieties, I put my worries into this little box. He said, for 10 minutes a day, I take out the box, I open it up, and I sit there and I look into the box, and I'm mamish overwhelmed. I feel all the fear and all the anxieties that all of you fear. Everything that all of you are feeling. But then I close that box up with all my fear and anxieties, and I put it away. And then I'm able to have Yishuv Hadas for the rest of the day. The Majitzer Rebbe was saying it's a choice to decide to make ourselves crazy all day long. We can spend all day checking the latest updates, and finding out how many more tens of thousands of people have been diagnosed with coronavirus and who's passed away since we checked the news last, Rahman al-Itzlan. Or we could choose to, you know what, yes, we need to know what's happening in the world. I'm not saying otherwise. But like the Majitzer Rebbe, you said, you got to put it away once in a while. We have to allow ourselves to have a little Yishuv Hadas, to remember, Maror Korech, take all of your tzaras, roll them all together, stuff them into that box, and look at it once in a while. But don't allow yourself to drown in it. It's simply too overwhelming. And it's something that we can't afford to lose our mental health at a time like this. Okay, last but not least, I want to end with one final comment from Rabbi Lam's Haggadah once again, the Royal Table. And this is a comment that I think, again, is very relevant. It's one of the parts of the Seder that I think for the modern thinker is a difficult one, even though maybe it shouldn't be so hard. After benching, of course, we have a passage which makes some of us, again, a little bit uncomfortable. Shvoch chamascha el agayim asher lo yidaucha. We daven, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please pour out your wrath upon the nations of the world who don't recognize you, who don't know you at all. V'amamlachos asher b'shimcha lo karo. And to those who call out to all sorts of other gods, they don't acknowledge your name. Ki achal es Yaakov es Naveyu heishamu. They've devoured Yaakov, they've destroyed the Jewish people. Naveyu, your temple, your Beis HaMikdash, heishamu, they've destroyed your habitation, they've destroyed your home, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pour out his wrath, to punish the nations of the world. And again, many of us have neighbors or coworkers who are very fine, decent human beings, and maybe this passage makes us uncomfortable. I'm going to leave you with the words of Rabbi Lam. And maybe this is a way for us to understand Shvo Chamascha a little bit more this year than in years past. He writes, the Seder is a lovely, glowing experience. It's on page 106. The Seder is a lovely, glowing experience. Freedom is celebrated amongst family and friends with food and symbols are abounding. We are happy and at home as we are seated around this royal table. Why in such a pleasant atmosphere do we introduce the harsh and jarring note of Shvo Chamascha, imploring Almighty God to pour out his wrath upon the nations that know him not and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon his name? And here's the question. Is it not better to concentrate upon freedom for the oppressed than upon punishment for the oppressor? Meaning, shouldn't we celebrate our salvation more than we're davening for the downfall of the enemy? Hashem promises he's going to take care of the enemy. That goes back to the pasuk by Brisbane of Asarim. They're not going to get away with it. So after going through a whole Seder and sitting and singing and recounting and feasting and enjoying mitzvos galore, now we end the night by saying, Hashem, you know, make sure you pour out your wrath on the enemy. That's what we want to focus on. Let's focus on our geula. Why am I focusing on the bad guy? However, those who give verbal expression to their enmity are usually the least likely to act upon it. Says Rabbi Lam, you know what? Sometimes there's these feelings that we have in our heart and these feelings on our chest. And if I don't find a way to unload them, maybe in words, then God forbid I'll unload them in actions. And then I'm overstepping because it's not my place to take the place of a Kadosh Baruch Hu necessarily, and to bring vengeance upon the world. Those who acknowledge, as we do every Wednesday morning, that Hashem is a Kel Nekamos, a God of vengeance, are least likely to appoint themselves the official executioners on his behalf. To have to keep your righteous resentment pent up within without release is like not being able to perspire. It keeps the poison inside your system and destroys it. When the steam of indignation and the humiliations and indignities we've endured throughout the centuries build up the pressure within us, we give it release, in this case by reciting Shvo Chamascha. In other words, there's a lot of frustration that we all feel right now. There's a lot of anger. And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a pass at the Seder, you know, to express some of that anger. To say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are individuals who could have done a better job putting a stop to this pandemic more early on. And maybe there are evil people in the world who need to be held accountable. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a part of me that wants to seek that vengeance myself, but I know that's not my place. So you know what? I'll give it verbal expression. I'll blow off some of that steam. And maybe, we can take this idea one step further and take it to our davening every day. There's a lot of frustration we feel right now. There's a lot of questions we have for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot of disappointment in the way that the world is being run right now, and it's a little bit chaotic. But maybe turn that frustration, maybe not into this angry Shvo Chamascha, which again has a place by the Seder as we see, but maybe what? Maybe turn it into a tefillah. Maybe turn it into a frustrated prayer. It's okay to express your frustrations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in davening. Tell Hashem that you're mad. Tell Hashem that you're upset. Tell Hashem that you're frustrated with the way that things are being handled. Tell Hashem that you're upset with the way that he's hiding himself. How much more do people need to suffer? Turn that into some type of verbal expression to release some of that pressure. And then both we and the world are all the better for it, says Rabbi Lam. So again, I hope these Torahs will serve you to give perspective at the Seder. I hope we could turn them into tefillos at the Seder. And I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be makabel these tefillos beratzon. And we should be zocha. Halavai, there's still plenty of time left. Achodesh asher Yeshua's bo makifos. There's plenty of loans to be given out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that one salvation, again, like the Rebbe Rayat said at that Fabrangan in 1941. We don't need a lot of salvation. We'd all come together the way that we'd like to be in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh, and be able to celebrate the Pesach that we're dreaming of. But if it doesn't happen, if Rachmana Litzlan, it doesn't happen, I hope these Torahs will serve as tfilos to give us perspective and to allow us to make this Pesach a very meaningful one. Thank you all very much. I know I was slated for a half hour and it's been 52 minutes, but you stuck around, so I appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.